Amen. Well, I'm sure that most of us here this evening are aware of at least a handful of fables or folklore tales. Many times these fables were gathered into collections. For instance, Aesop's fables or Grimm's fairy tales. These are short stories that have been handed down through the centuries, coming from many different locations around the world, sometimes undergoing various changes through time, and with the intent purpose of teaching a lesson or a moral of the story. Two of these folklore tales will help illustrate what we'll be looking at this evening and what it means to faithfully sound the alarm. But these two fables, they prove the contrary. These are two poor examples of sounding the alarm, ones we should not follow. The first is known as the boy who cried wolf. As the story goes, a young shepherd boy is tricking the villagers, sounding the alarm that a wolf is present and was going to eat the sheep. The villagers heed the call, the cry of the young boy. They run out only to find the boy cleverly laughing. This happens a number of times, tricking the villagers. However, finally, a wolf actually does come, and when the boy cries for help, none of the villagers come because they're not going to be fooled again. The wolf ends up eating the sheep, and in some versions of the story, he eats the boy as well. The other folk tale is often referred to as Chicken Little. In this story, an acorn falls on the head of a young chick who, as a result, thinks the sky is falling and then proceeds to try to convince everyone and warn them that the sky is falling and the world is coming to an end. This phrase even has worked its way into popular culture, the sky is falling, or referring to someone as a chicken little can refer to someone who ignorantly gets people all worked up in a frenzy over nothing, perhaps a conspiracy theory. Now, both of these tales, they serve as examples of individuals who sounded the alarm, but they were either selfishly invested or misguided and ignorant. But what happens when that someone sounding the alarm is a faithful minister of the word? And they aren't merely speaking truth, but they are clearly declaring the truth. What happens when this isn't a folklore tale or a fable, but biblical reality? And what is at stake in regards to listening to the one sounding the alarm is a matter of life and death, eternal life and death. This evening, we're going to be looking at one such minister of the word, an Old Testament prophet by the name of Ezekiel, called to be a watchman and to faithfully sound the alarm. I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 33. As you make your way to Ezekiel 33, I invite you to stand for this reading of God's holy word. This is the word of the Lord speaking to the prophet Ezekiel and recorded down for God's people long ago and for us today. Ezekiel 33, beginning in verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, speak to your people and say to them, if I bring the sword upon a land and the people of the land take a man from among them and make him their watchman, and if he sees the sword coming and upon the land and blows the trumpet and warns the people, then if the people who hear the sound of the trumpet does not take warning and the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But if he had taken warning, he would have saved his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet so that the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any one of them, That person is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. Thus ends the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. Heavenly Father, we ask that this word proclaimed and heard would fall in good soil tonight. Lord, we want to have ears to hear and hearts ready to obey and put into practice this word, Lord. Work your spirit within us, Father. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. So here at First Church, during our evening worship services, Pastor Glenn and Pastor Matt have been taking us through the prophet Malachi, the final prophet of the Old Testament. There are a few other prophets that we have looked at as a church. More recently, in the last few years, we looked at Habakkuk and Daniel. But in looking at Ezekiel briefly this evening, I want to do so more in a general sense, to sort of look at the role of all the prophets, those who faithfully declared the word of the Lord. Now, believe it or not, even if we weren't going through one of the prophetic books, even if we weren't going through Malachi in our evening services, which is our custom, and we would still hear from the prophets on a regular basis, for they've been quoted repeatedly in the Gospels. Paul refers to them. We read from them throughout the church calendar during Advent and Good Friday and so on. You see, the words of the prophets, which are in fact the words of the Lord, they ring true long after their original prophecy. In our text this evening, the prophet Ezekiel is given a title. And verse 7 states that the Lord made Ezekiel a watchman for the house of Israel. This was not an additional role on top of being a prophet, but rather an illustration or an object lesson to his role as a prophet, similar to other pictures or roles, like being likened to a shepherd. And so while this is the Lord speaking to Ezekiel, I don't think that this comparison of being a prophet and a watchman is unique to Ezekiel, but rather it applies to all the prophets in a way. And perhaps, as we'll see later in our application, how this can apply to us in our day and context. So where does this imagery of a watchman come from? Where does this metaphor that the Lord uses of a watchman come from? One commentator summarizes by saying this: a watchman in the Old Testament times, they stood on the wall of the city as a sentry, watching for any threat to the city from without and within. If he saw an invading army on the horizon, or perhaps dangers within the city like fires or riots, the watchman would immediately sound the alarm to warn the people. And so the Lord uses this familiar role, this picture, to describe what the prophet Ezekiel is to do to Israel, and which, in fact, he did already do, faithfully so. You see, what we're reading here in chapter 33 of Ezekiel is really a reprise of his previous commissioning by God recorded in Ezekiel chapter 3. Oftentimes, the wording is identical. And the role of the watchman, or the prophet of God, was to warn the people. Much like the watchman on the wall, the prophet would sound the alarm whenever he saw danger. For example, Jeremiah prophesied about the coming judgment upon Israel. Judgment in the form of a nation coming from the north, signifying Babylon. And this would ultimately lead to the destruction of Jerusalem and the exile to follow. So the prophet would be a watchman for danger of coming enemies, but this was really the result of the watchman already pointing out the danger of rebellious sin among the people themselves, which led to the judgment of God in exile. We see this in our passage as well, in Ezekiel, that the prophet is talking about personal sin, not just external threats and danger. You see, the first half of our passage, verses 1 through 6, it describes a watchman in the historical sense, on the lookout for those coming with the sword. If the watchman on the wall sees the sword coming and sounds the alarm, blowing the trumpet to warn the people, then he's innocent of their blood, even if they refuse to listen to the warning. But if the watchman on the tower fails to sound the alarm, then the people, although they will still die in their sin, their blood will be required at the hand of the watchman. That's the first half. And in the second half, verses 7 through 9, it now shifts to the Lord using that metaphor to describe the ministry of Ezekiel as one who is not merely on the watch for enemies, but is on the watch to point out the sin of the people and call them to repentance, to faithfully warn them and sound the alarm. However, the sad reality is that in the Bible, we see oftentimes unfaithful watchmen and also unwilling listeners, those who refuse to listen when the watchman does faithfully sound the alarm to warn the people. Concerning unfaithful watchmen, those who fail to sound the alarm, one example is found in the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 56, he records some very rebuking words. He says, "His watchmen are blind. They are without knowledge. They are all silent dogs. They cannot bark, dreaming, lying down, loving to slumber. The dogs have a mighty appetite. They never have enough. But they are shepherds who have no understanding. They have all turned their own way, each to his own gain, one and all." It's not a very good picture to be described as a blind watchman. I can't help, whenever hearing this description of a blind watchman, that my mind wanders to an early 90s comedy film called Robin Hood Men in Tights. This is not a recommendation. That's not what you're hearing. You're not hearing a recommendation to watch this movie, but I digress. In this film, there's a scene where one of Robin Hood's merry men, who was named Blinken, was up in a crow's nest keeping watch. The irony was that Blinken was blind. And Robin Hood comes trotting by night on horse, and he looks up and he sees Blinken up in the crow's nest wearing his stereotypical sunglasses in the watchtower. And he says, "Blinken, what are you doing up there?" To which Blinken replies, I'm guessing no one is coming." And while that movie is a bit of comedy, there's really nothing more serious than a rebuking word from the Lord when he says that his watchmen are blind. There's a bit of mocking irony calling them blind watchmen. These are examples of unfaithful leaders, only concerned with themselves and their own gain. Well, what about when God's watchmen are faithful to sound the alarm and warn the people? Well, there's also the sad reality that the people will not heed the warning. We read about this in the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah 6, 16 through 19 says, "Thus says the Lord," listen to this plea, "stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they say, we will not walk in it." So the Lord says, "I set watchmen over you, saying, pay attention to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not pay attention. Therefore, hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, what will happen to them. Hear, O earth, behold, I am bringing disaster upon this people, the fruit of their devices, because they have not paid attention to my words. And as for my law, they have rejected it." The truth is, many will not listen to the word of the Lord proclaimed from his messengers. They will not listen to the sound of the alarm from his watchmen. But the Lord also gives this knowledge to the prophets. And so they shouldn't be surprised of this ourselves as well today whenever God's word is proclaimed. You see, the Lord told Ezekiel early on that if he would had spoken to the foreign nations, that surely if I sent you to such, they would listen to you. But the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you, for they are not willing to listen to me, says the Lord, because all the house of Israel have a hard forehead and a stubborn heart. And we heard something similar to this as well a few weeks ago in our morning series through Mark's gospel, when Jesus quoted from the prophet Isaiah. When the prophet was told by the Lord to say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. The sad truth is that many refuse to listen to the sound of the alarm and take warning when the watchmen are faithfully proclaiming it. But regardless of this reality, another reality remains, and that is that the soul that sins shall surely die. And a faithful watchman must warn of such judgment to come and call people to repent, regardless if they listen or not. We're told many won't. I know we've been primarily hearing about God's prophets acting as a watchman for the house of Israel, because that is what our text is focusing on. But there's also a role of the prophet as well, who speaks to the nations. God not only speaks to his own people to warn them to repent and to warn them of the judgment to come, most often in the form of another sinful nation, pagan nation, coming against them, but then God also judges those pagan nations as well. We saw a glimpse of this dual role this morning with John the Baptist, someone who not only spoke to those who consider themselves to be God's people, calling them to repent, but also speaking the truth of God's word to a Gentile leader in King Herod. There's so much more that could be said about the Old Testament prophets being watchmen, perhaps for another time. But I want to spend the rest of our time looking at what this means for us today. What does this mean for us today? We live in a time within certain circles of Christianity, and I use that term now, Christianity, broadly and loosely. There are groups where they would still claim the title prophet or even apostle. And while I can understand that we might rightfully shudder at such claims, we need to understand why. We don't have the time to go over this exhaustively, and I believe Pastor Glenn and Matt probably covered this as well when we went through 1 Corinthians, right? Because it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 where we find one of Paul's lists of spiritual gifts. And in there, he mentions that God has appointed some as apostles and prophets. What are we to do with this? How are we to understand this? Are there still such leadership roles in the church today? Again, without going into a full-length second sermon, I want to mention that we believe that at the close of the New Testament canon, that is, all the letters contained in the New Testament and Old, which include the teaching of the apostles, that there is, nor shall there ever be, a new word from the Lord that is authoritative. There's never going to be another word from the Lord that is authoritative and obligates us to listen to or obey it. The Lord has graciously given us in His Word all that we need for a life of godliness in the Word, the Holy Scriptures. But should we just leave it at that? Does this mean that no one speaks the word of the Lord anymore? What about those other leadership roles that Paul mentions? He mentions teachers and shepherds, evangelists. What of those? Well, while we can be sure that there are no longer apostles, those who were eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection and commissioned by Jesus himself, nor are there any prophets in the traditional sense, those who heard directly from Yahweh himself or foresaw events that would take place in the future. Although we no longer have those roles, because they have been fulfilled, we do, however, have what I believe can be considered watchmen today. And just as the metaphor of a watchman was used to describe the prophets, I believe the same could be said of anyone, but especially pastors and elders, those who declare the word of the Lord from the Scriptures and sound the alarm to warn those within their circles of influence or under their care. I want to highlight just a few passages to make this case. And while we do so, recognizing that this is the Word of God, we not only want to hear these passages as those who might be among us in leadership positions, either an elder, a deacon, a pastor, but to all the congregation as well. The first passage I want to take us to is 1 Peter. In 1 Peter, here we find both a word to the elders as well as to all the congregation. First, a word to the elders. Peter begins by saying, "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed." Listen to what Peter says. "Shepherd the flock that is among you. Exercise oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." Here, Peter uses the metaphor of a shepherd instead of a watchman, but the idea is the same. That they watch over the flock. Like a faithful watchman, a faithful shepherd protects and warns the flock. The sheep know the voice of the shepherd. They listen to the word of the Lord that they're speaking. You see, as under-shepherds, with Christ Jesus being the ultimate good shepherd, we are asking the sheep not to blindly follow us, but to do so knowing that we are following Jesus, and it is His word that we are giving them and that they should listen to. Peter continues with a word now to the congregation. In verse 5, he says, "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Concerning our response to leaders that God has placed over us, we should certainly not be like those who shut their ears and did not listen to the prophets. They fell under God's judgment in a variety of ways. Now, while a rebuke or a warning from Scripture is not always pleasant to hear, we should recognize and be grateful for God's great love and patience that He would give us such watchmen to care for our souls. That's what the author of Hebrews has in mind when he states towards the end of his letter. He says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account." Here we see a much more explicit description of a pastor or an elder as a watchman. They're to watch, keep watch over our souls. And much like the prophets who were to faithfully sound the alarm, and they will have to give an account for it, so too are our church leaders. Knowing that our church leaders have a high calling and responsibility, and that they'll have to give an account before God, the Apostle Paul encourages the church in Thessalonica with these words. He says, "To respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves." Paul said earlier in that same letter to the church in Thessalonica, commending the believers for receiving the word of the Lord. So they weren't like those who shut their ears to the prophets. Listen to what Paul writes. He says, "We also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers." This is what every pastor and elder desires, that we listen to the word of the Lord. This is what those hearing the words of the prophets, those first watchmen, should have done. But again, sadly, they did not listen. They did not heed the warnings, the sound of the alarm. But what about us? What about us? What will we do? When we sit under faithful preaching of God's word, Lord's Day after Lord's Day, when we are taught in Bible study classes or catechism classes, and we hear what the Lord requires of us, or we hear of sins mentioned that we know we struggle with, or when we hear of coming judgment that no man can escape except through the saving work of Jesus, when we hear all of that, will we receive it as the word of God and obey it? Or will we be like those who heard the faithful watchman words of Ezekiel and Jeremiah, Isaiah, Malachi? Will we not listen? Will we refuse to repent? Their blood will not be on the hands of the prophets who were faithful watchmen. And for those who hear the gospel proclaimed by faithful witnesses and ministers, their blood will not be on their hands. Paul states his innocence when he speaks to the Ephesian elders. I was reminded of this passage earlier this week during our life group. My fellow brothers didn't realize that they were helping me greatly with my sermon prep. It's recorded in Acts 20. And this is actually a very emotional event as Paul realizes that he's not going to see his Ephesian brothers and sisters anymore. He realizes that in just a moment he is going to Rome. Well, he's going to go to Jerusalem. Ultimately, he's going to end up in Rome where he'll give his life for the sake of the gospel and not see these beloved brothers and sisters again. It's a very emotional time. Listen to what he says as some of his final words to the Ephesian elders. In Acts 20, he says, "And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." Here we see that Paul was a faithful watchman, one who the Lord will not need to require at his hand, those who die in their sins. Paul's innocent of their blood because he warned them. But Paul's not done. Listen to what he then admonishes to the Ephesian elders. He says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves, danger on the horizon, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert. Remember that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." These elders are likewise, they're overseers. They're watchmen, as you might call them. And they are to be on the lookout for danger. Not only are they to proclaim the word of the Lord and call people to repentance, but they're also to be on guard for the wolves among the sheep, looking out for false teachers, false teachings, those speaking twisted things that lead the sheep astray. We are not being faithful leaders if we fail to neglect the duty of sounding the alarm when danger is present. We can't be asleep on the job. We can't be selfishly motivated or idle in our responsibility. If we were doing a sermon series through the prophet Ezekiel, we would see that in the very next chapter, chapter 34, that Ezekiel delivers a prophecy against the unfaithful shepherds of Israel. Now, while I'm not preaching this text is pretty self-explanatory, and it preaches itself, and it's worth reading. It's a little lengthy, but please hear the word of the Lord from Ezekiel 34. "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. And so they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over the mountains and on every hill. My sheep were scattered all over the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely, because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places and where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness, and I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall their grazing land. There shall they lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. It's not much commentary needed from such a passage. It's pretty clear. Well, how do we end such a sermon? How do we bring this to a close? Well, there really is only one way. Having heard what it means to be a faithful watchman, someone who is declaring the word of the Lord, but not that it's merely this sermon tonight, but all sermons should point to Christ and his gospel, his work, the reality of judgment, and the blessing of forgiveness and eternal life for all who turn from their sin in repentance and place their faith in Christ alone, bowing to him as Lord. So people here tonight, whether you're a long-time member of First Church or a visitor, wherever you are from, this same Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered once for all on the cross to pay the penalty of our sin, the very wrath of God's judgment that we deserve, and this perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God, Jesus, was accepted by the Father. He was received. He was raised from the dead. He lives forever to reign and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he's coming again. He's coming again. This is a warning, the sounding of a trumpet. He is coming again to judge the living and the dead. For those who are in Christ, it will be a day of full salvation. But please hear this. For those who have not bowed to Jesus, or especially those who have repeatedly heard the warning alarms of the gospel of Christ and the judgment to come, for those who have not obeyed the word of the Lord and repented of their sin, the day of the Lord will be terrible. And it will not end. The punishment will be eternal, and there will no longer remain any chance of repentance that leads to life. Today, right now, is the day of salvation. We're not promised a tomorrow. Turn to Christ and live. And if you are alive in Christ today, let us, every one of us, faithfully warn those who are not. May we be found innocent of the blood of our family members, our neighbors, those within our circles, all whom the Lord has placed us near as ambassadors and watchmen, pastors, elders, young men here who may aspire to one day answer God's call on their lives. Stand on the wall, faithfully watch, and sound the alarm. Let's pray. Father, we've heard not just words, but your word. I pray that was heard, that your word was heard. The word that we must give an account to, give an answer for, that one day we will stand before you and your books will be opened and a judgment will take place. We're even told every careless word that we say will be remembered. Father, I pray that we would hear the alarm, that we would hear the sound of the prophets. Lord, from Moses to the prophets, they're all pointing to Jesus. May we hear of Jesus and what he has done for us to escape the just wrath that we deserve. When he was lifted up on the cross, that we would look to him in faith, turning from our sin, trusting in him. No one who looks to you will ever be put to shame. And Lord, help us by your Spirit to faithfully proclaim that in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, wherever we send missionaries across the world to proclaim your word. Whoever is among us that might sense your calling to ministry, Father, help us to be faithful watchmen, standing on the wall, not asleep or idle. Lord, give us grace to do this, Lord. We can do nothing apart from you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.